We are very, very diligently continuing our study of the book of Jeremiah. My, my, what a book it has been. How much have we learned from it? Really, it has been a key to a great many doctrines that we have come to know. And now we've come down to Jeremiah 40, and we've come to that point in time when Jerusalem has been finally conquered by the Babylonians. They have destroyed the king's palace and a lot of the houses and the temple, and they've destroyed the wall, and King Nebuchadnezzar rules there. And now we find something very interesting developing. The captain of the guard, or the captain, we would call him the chief general who is appointed by King Nebuchadnezzar to carry out Nebuchadnezzar's plans for Jerusalem, has come up with a very, very interesting story in which he is telling the people that the poor people and those who don't have anything, you can remain here. You can remain in Jerusalem, and in the meanwhile, I have made a man by the name of Gedaliah governor. Now, this suddenly becomes very, very interesting, because when we go back in the book of Jeremiah, we find that in Jeremiah chapter 27, Jeremiah 27, let's start with verse 9. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners. Jeremiah is telling at an earlier date while they were being surrounded by the King Nebuchadnezzar. Hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nation that brings their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith Jehovah, and they shall till it and dwell therein. Well, that's a very, very interesting statement, because earlier on in Jeremiah 21, verse 9, Jeremiah 21, verse 9, this is what God is saying, he that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans, there are the Babylonians that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. Now, he also declared in Jeremiah 24, verse 5, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, like these good figs, I will acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of thy place into the land of Chaldea for their good. And then we also read in chapter 38, verse 2. Chapter 38, verse 2. Thus saith Jehovah, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Now you notice here that again and again God has said, you've got to get out of the city, or you're going to be destroyed. And yet we have this contradiction in Jeremiah 27, where God apparently is saying that you can remain, how did he put it in Jeremiah 27, the nation that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I remain, I will let remain still in their own land, saith Jehovah. Now, we have a very, very interesting development. We're going to look at this Gedaliah. We were back in Jeremiah 40, where Gedaliah was appointed governor over those who would remain in Jerusalem. Remember that the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, he allowed the poor people to remain there to tend the vineyards and to till the ground, and he appointed Gedaliah as the governor. When we look at Gedaliah, we find that he's not just any old person. He's not an incidental person. He is a very, very trusted man. He's been a very good friend of Jeremiah. His whole family is involved with being on Jeremiah's side. In other words, he is a very important prince that has remained in Jerusalem and supporting as Jeremiah is threatened. For example, if we go back to Jeremiah 26, verse 24, Jeremiah, we're going to spend a little time to understand Gedaliah, because there's a very, very interesting thing that is developing here. We read in verse 24, nevertheless, this is Jeremiah 26, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Now, Ahikam is the father Ahikam is the father of Gedaliah. And so in his own family, his parents, his father, is all for Jeremiah. He's out to protect Jeremiah as Jeremiah tries to be faithful in declaring what he has to declare. Then when we go to Jeremiah 36, we learn there that in verse 10, Jeremiah 36, verse 10, then read Baruch, remember he was the secretary to Jeremiah, in the book, the words of Jeremiah. This is at the time they had found, that Jeremiah had written into a scroll, the word of God, and now this is preliminary to bringing it to the king who is going to destroy it. But here is Baruch reading the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Jehovah's house in the ears of all the people. Now from this verse, we learn that Shaphan, who is the grandfather of Gedaliah, is a scribe to the king. In other words, he would be like a secretary to the king. He was in a very high position. And then we also read that Gemariah, who was a son of Shaphan, that Gemariah is also totally pro-Bible. This, in other words, this is a family that obviously loved the Lord. It was a family that wanted to be faithful, and they were in a very high position. We read in verse 11, when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, now that would be a cousin of Ahikam, because he was a son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of Jehovah. Then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and all the princes sat there, and so on and so on. Verse 13, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. And therefore the princes sent Jehudi, another man, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll, and so on, and they were going to bring it to the king. Okay? Now the whole setting here is that here we have the grandfather, Shaphan, a scribe in the king's house. We find he has two sons, Gemariah and Ahikam, who are very pro Jeremiah. They care for. And then he has two grandsons, Micaiah and Gedaliah. And so that whole family, as God gives us little touches of it, we see that if we had to make an analysis, we'd have to say, now here's a family that really is committed to the word of the Lord, who really is on the side of Jeremiah. They're willing to try to rescue him when he is being threatened. They certainly are understanding what God is planning. But now we find this very curious turn of events. The captain of the guard, and this was not an unusual thing, when a land was conquered, Alexander the Great did this, and very successful conquerors did this. They would find someone who they thought was trustworthy and who had ruling ability and make them the ruler, the governor in the land. That was customarily done. And so the captain of the guard looked at all the princes that were left, and he checked out their pedigrees and checked out their alliances and so on. And they had nothing against Jeremiah at all. Remember that the captain of the guard set him free altogether. And so they came to Gedaliah. And Gedaliah just appeared to be the one. He is one of the princes. He has a very fine reputation. He comes from a very excellent family. He is a friend of Jeremiah. Therefore he made Gedaliah governor. Okay? And so we read that once he became governor, we read where he's saying in verse 10 of Jeremiah 40, as for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah. And Mizpah is about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. It's in the land of Judea. I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities, that ye have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom that were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, then all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah, or to Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Well, what is going on? We read in several places God had said, if anybody remains here, they're going to be destroyed. And yet we read this one verse where apparently it is saying, but you can still dwell in the land. And now comes along the captain of the guard, who represents King Nebuchadnezzar, and appoints Gedaliah to be the governor and to indeed permit a number of people, of the poor people, to remain there to tend the vineyards and so on. What is happening? Well, I'll tell you, God is really teaching us a big lesson. When we go back to Jeremiah 27, we have to look at that verse more carefully. Because when we look at the original, and that's why if we're a teacher, we always have to check the original, because particularly when we get this kind of a problem, because that verse in Jeremiah 27 runs contrary to the other three verses. It seems like God has changed his mind. But in verse 11, let me read it again. The nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith Jehovah, and they shall till it and dwell therein. So God has said this. Gedaliah, who's right in with this family that is so close to Jeremiah and is right in the palace, they know all that Jeremiah is declaring, and Gedaliah has heard this. And so even though it's a contradiction to what God had said in those other passages, still, didn't God say this? Didn't he say this? And therefore, he rightly felt that he could remain there and be faithful to God. But the fact is that they did something that the translators have done. It's really curious that the translators fell into the same snare. Because when we look at the original Hebrew here, it is saying, but the nation that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain, not in their land. It is in his land. It is a third person, a masculine, singular pronoun here. They changed it from a third person to a second person so that it was stated your land. And that is not the way it is written in the original Hebrew. It is his land. Whose land? In the land of Nebuchadnezzar, in Babylon. So what God is saying here is not a change in the other verses. It's a reiteration. But someone came along and changed one word. One word. And apparently, this may have happened already in the days of Gedaliah. We don't know. But Gedaliah, this certainly, if it is their land, in other words, Jerusalem, you can remain in Jerusalem. Well, then he had a biblical validation for remaining there. And it reminds me, you know, a lot of people, they don't like what we're learning about this or that or the other thing. And so they earnestly go through the Bible, trying to find a verse that will allow a different understanding, even though the predominance of the verses do not allow this at all. And, of course, it gets particularly interesting when these individuals are trusted men of God. Gedaliah, we'd have to say, was a trusted man of God. And yet he freely accepts the governorship of Babylon when God has said again and again, "No, I'm going to destroy you." And then when we see what happens, and we're going to be developing that as we go from study to study, we find that it's all doom and gloom. It's destruction of every kind. And Gedaliah is right at the head of it, this trusted man of God. And it reminds me so well of what is happening in our day. There are individuals that know a whole lot about the Bible. They have gone a long ways with a lot of the testing that God has given. But then somewhere along the line, they begin to stumble. They stumble at the idea that we are being destroyed altogether, annihilation. And yet they're highly regarded as men of God who really understand. These, in other words, when we claim to have a relationship with God, we have to be super careful that we are watching everything in the Bible and that we are not seeking to fudge or seeking help us with our own personal idea, trying to find a verse, because certainly Jeremiah 27, the way it's written, gives ample authority to remain in Jerusalem. No question at all about that. My, we have come to the end of our time, and again, could it be that God will bless you as you continue to meditate and think about these things that God presents to us from His most holy word? Everything that we are studying, obviously, is super important, because it comes from the Word of God.